Pray. Heavenly Father, we come, by blood of Jesus, we confess our sins, so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. Father, we thank you for your presence that is here, that we can sense and feel already. We do not take it for granted. Thank you for the open heavens that we have because of the covering of the fathers of the house, Lord. We honor you, we do not take it for granted. As we go into your word this evening, I humble myself, Father, in your mighty hand, and I ask for mercy to be a faithful steward of the mysteries of the gospel. As I speak today, you help me by your mercy speak as an oracle of God. I will go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, and the comfort and love of the Spirit to do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be further enlightened by revelation knowledge of Christ's life, and our emotions to be further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Help me as I share from your word today to bring out the treasure of your word, things that are both new and old, as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom. Lord, Holy Spirit, I set you at my right hand. Help me to redeem the time I dwell under covering. I receive mercy afresh, sufficient grace to minister effectively this evening. I thank you, Father. We give all the praise and all the glory for all you will do this evening in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bear to meet thy God. It's a very simple message. Let's open the Bible to Amos chapter 4 verse 12. Amos 4 12. Amos chapter 4 verse 12. Praise. Let's read together. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. Israel speaks about the entire body of Christ. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Let's together. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. So God is talking to the entire body of Christ. When you see Israel in the Bible, he talks about the entire church, Christians that are born again. You know, so God is saying here through Amos to Israel, prepare to meet your God. Now, why would God say that? One thing we need to see from this is that already tells us that he is coming. One. So we should not doubt whether he's coming or not. He says prepare to meet him. So if he says prepare, that means he's going to come. Are you following me? And the second thing is that before he comes, there has to be a preparation. Are you following me? That's just logical from that. That is, that he said prepare to meet. That is the fact. We should not have any doubt in our minds about whether he's coming or not. That is very important. Then the second thing is that there has to be a preparation of the people of God before he comes to meet him. Praise the Lord. So I put it there, and like Pastor has talked over the years, it's very clear now, it's become clearer and clearer that the coming of the Lord in this end time is in three phases. Let's say together, it's first of coming in us, then it's coming for us at the rapture, then it's going to come with us for the millennial reign. These are the three sets of comings. You know, we have, as we've been told, if it does not come in you in perfection and fullness, it's very, very unlikely that it will come for you at the rapture. Are you following me? The same Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, it's coming for a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. So if it does not come in you, or you are not under the leadership of those that are walking in those principles, because the people are getting born again, it's a process. So, you know, we may not be perfect when it comes. But you must be under the right leadership, submitted to the right leadership. Are you following me? So it's coming, let's say, once again, it's coming in us, in perfection and fullness, and with the imminent manifestation of his glory that we're expecting. And then he's also coming for us at the rapture. And then he's also going to come with us for the millennial reign. Praise the Lord. So the coming we are zeroing down on today is the coming in us in perfection and fullness. Because that is what is next to us now. As you can see, you know, if you were not supposed to observe, you know, the from outside. But it says the kingdom of God is within. I follow me, because Satan can trick those things to deceive. The Bible says in Testament, it says God will send them a strong delusion with the same peace, peace, when there is no peace. But you see, already even as you can see now, things have been aligned, if you observe properly, that has already shown something is about to happen, and people of God must be ready to meet their God. Praise the Lord. So I put it here. I said that he's coming to meet two sets of people in the body of Christ. He's first of all coming for the leadership, and then the saints in the body of Christ. You see, each time you read your Bible, you know, God will either send a message to the leadership of the church, like in the book of Revelation, say, to the angel of the church of so and so, then also to the saints. Why? Because the leadership are responsible for the saints. Are you following me? So those are categorically speaking the two sets of people. So let's put some scripture behind this. Let's look at the leadership. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 12, verse 45. The master himself was talking. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 12, verse 45. Let's read. It says, but, and if that servant, so he's talking about the servants of God, say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Hold on. So you can see from this scripture right now that we are in that season. Because the Bible says that, though it tarry, wait for it. So, if you see this servant, it is prophetically speaking. And the master said, he said, if he says in his heart, the Lord yielded, that means that servant looked at situations and said, well, this is where is the promise of his coming? This is not going to happen again. So, as a consequence of that delay, he took life easy. Are you following me? So, he says, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord, what delayed is coming. So, he knew he's coming. He was coming. But it looks like he's tiring. It's not being asked. Let me just do some things. He says, and shall begin to what? Beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken. Next verse. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him. That look there is not physical looking. It is the eyes of understanding. Are you following me? For him, and at an hour when he is not aware, I will cut him in sunder, I will appoint him his portion with unbelievers. Next verse. That's a severe judgment. And that servant which knew his Lord's will. Says, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and what? Prepared not himself. Neither did according to his will. Shall be beaten with many stripes. It's very important. The master begins to say, look, that means from here you can see some servants that actually know the will of the master and they refuse to do it. Some may not know, but they may hear about it and refuse that they didn't just do the master's will. Next verse. Say, beating with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whom whosoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask no more. Like I was sharing some time ago, what is the master's will? It needs to be clear. Because you see, you can take, there are different things. You know that healing is the will of God. Prosperity is the will of God. Different things are the will of God. But the Bible zeroes this will down. Very specifically, the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 3. Using the word sanctification. Let's say sanctification. Yeah, praise the Lord. Are we there? So we are bound. 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, that's 4:3. Not 1. 4:3. He says that, you know, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That's what he says. 4:3, not 1. I think this is 1. Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says, even this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Are you following me? So, you see, we're not talking about fornication. 1 Thessalonians, yes. We're not talking about fornication. That's another aspect of what we're talking about. But there the Bible says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Somewhere in the book of John, the Lord Jesus Christ said, sanctify them by their truth. Thy word is truth. Now, that sanctification by their truth is not just the sanctification of your spirit. It includes the sanctification of your soul and your body. Are you following me? So if you open to 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, just put some scriptures as I begin to build up the message. You know, the master, Paul was talking, the same Paul. He says that, I pray your whole spirit, soul. Okay, let's just read it. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you may abstain, that you should abstain from fornication. But it's that aspect I want to, even your sanctification. That sanctification is not just your spirit. It's your spirit, your soul, and your body. Let's put it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians, sorry. 5:20. Yeah, that's it. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that he's going to come. But the criteria is that your spirit, your soul, and your body must be preserved blameless unto that coming. That means it must happen before he comes. Are you following me? That it's clear from that scripture. So
That is the responsibility that God has committed to every man of God. You see, I've seen something through the scriptures while I meditate on the Bible. You see, there's only one purpose that God has for his church. Is to present that bride, you know, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You see, any message you hear anybody preach, if it does not tend towards that purpose, it's not, yes, doctrine according to godness. If it does not tend towards that purpose, it's going to lead people of God astray. You see, why do you want to be healed? Why do you want to be prosperous? Why do you want to succeed in life? It's because of that purpose, because that is what God is waiting for. Are you following me? So that is the ministry that God has committed to the leadership in the church. Ephesians chapter 4. He said, he gave some apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, you know, and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of God. That will be till we all come in joy of faith, honor of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of God. So every five member of the fivefold ministry, is you should find their commission in that. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So that is where it heads up. Now, the other aspect is about the saints. I said that's leadership. If you want to Matthew chapter 25, verse 6, talking about the 10 virgins. 25, verse 6. It says that a cry went out at midnight. You know that what? The bridegroom cometh. We know the story. So what am I? Why did I take time to explain this way? Because you see, it's to the leadership and also to the saints. But you see, the leadership has a responsibility to prepare the saints. The leadership has to respond, once of all, prepare themselves and then prepare the body of Christ. That's why the master will say the things that Lord that he began to do and to also teach. So they begin to do it and they experience the right of the things they are practicing. They begin to teach the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. So those are the two sets of people that this message applies to in the body of Christ. Now, I put it here, I say, what is to be prepared? You see, when we say prepare, you know, it's not something that is just in the sky. You can't really, let's break it down to what it really is that I began to, when I was studying. We have to prepare two things. Let's say our hearts and our bodies. Our hearts and our bodies. This is very important. The heart here speaks about the soul of man, the will, the mind, and the emotions. Are you following me? And then our physical bodies. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. That is why the cry of God throughout the Bible is, my son, give me your heart. Are you following me? Are we there? It says, my son, give me thine heart and let thy eyes observe my ways. That means if you don't give him your heart, your eyes, your mind cannot observe his ways. Or to the degree to which you give him your heart, can your eyes observe his your ways? Are you following me? So God's cry was, my son, give me your heart. That's why in Revelation it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's not knocking on the physical door. It's knocking on the door of the hearts of God's people. Are you following me? So that is that. Then that's why the master also said, I put it there. You don't have to turn there. In Matthew 15, he says that these people, they draw near unto me, but their hearts are far from me. They draw near unto me with their mouth, and their hearts are. You know, a lot of people profess that they are Christians, that they are born again. But you see, they just profess with their mouth, but their heart is far from God. And it's that heart that God wants. The will, the mind, and also the emotions. The will must be fully submitted to the will of God. The mind must be fully enlightened with revelation knowledge without any darkness at all. And then the emotions must be controlled by the fruit of the Spirit. When you get to that place, then you know you have given him your heart, when you no longer waver. Praise the Lord. So the second thing is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, says that a body that has prepared unto me. Are we there? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, I believe it is. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's where. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but what? A body as thou prepared for me. You see, that has reference to the corporate body of Christ. Also has reference to our individual body. But I say, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when he says a body, so God wants a body prepared, and he wants a heart that is prepared. Why? So that it can manifest his glory. Praise the Lord. So I put it here as to summarize everything so we don't use too many scriptures. I say that this preparation is done by the removal of the sin nature from his soul and body and filling it with the nature of God through the fire of intercession. I'll say it again. This preparation we are talking about is done by the removal of the sin nature from the soul and the body. And by at the same time, you are filling the soul and the body with the life of God. We need to understand that. So each time we do scriptures, that is coming as a refiner's fire. You know, it's coming. people get a bit afraid. They're wondering, ah, is it going to kill people? No. Because when the Bible talks about fire, it's going to talk about literal fire. It's going to talk about the glory of God. But also talking about the fire of purification that comes through intercession. We need to know that. I for him, so I put it there. I said, the preparation is done by removal of sin nature from our soul and our body, and the filling of the same with the nature of God through the fire of intercession. So let's open our Bibles to the book of Malachi chapter 3. Read from verses 1 to 4. You see, because for you to give him your heart or your body, the reason why we can't give it is because, see, the Bible says somewhere in the Old Testament, it says you must not, there's a sacrifice, I can't remember, it says you must not offer it with leaven. Leaven, the Bible speaks about sin, impurity. Are we there? Say, behold, let's look at, behold, I will send what? My messenger, and it shall do what? Prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall what? Suddenly come into his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, it shall come, said the Lord of hosts. I want to say something there. He said, I'm sending my messenger. The messenger here speaks about the apostolic and the prophetic ministries. And they have one ministry, they have one mission, is to prepare the way. And the way is being prepared in the hearts of men. It's not a physical road. Are you following me? He said, they will prepare the way before me. See, once the way is prepared, the Bible said, and suddenly the Lord will do what? Come into his temple. He said, even the Lord whom you delight in, he shall come. Say, Lord, next verse. Now begins to explain. Say, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth in his temple? For it's like what? A refiner's fire. Say, like a refiner's fire. And like what? Fuller's soap. Next verse. And he shall sit, like Pastor Clay was teaching us about 2 weeks ago, here we go, as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and do what? Purge them as gold and silver, and they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. That means if you don't undergo this purification process, our offering is not being offered in righteousness to God's standard. And like Pastor was sharing, he said, he will sit as a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. That this is not in an hurry to go. There's a scripture in Isaiah just comes. It says, the Lord has kindled fire in Zion. Somewhere in Isaiah 30 something. I follow him. So he said, he's coming and he's going to sit as a refiner's fire and as a fuller's soap, and he's going to purify the sons of Levi. You see, again, like I said, what is he purifying? What is the fire for? Like I said earlier, it's the fire of intercession. I said it ahead of time, so people don't begin to wonder, you know, fire is going to come down, like people that call fire down on their enemies. No, it's the fire of intercession. Are you following me? So, and I put it there. I said that it's going to purify and purge them as gold is purged. Now, let's put some scriptures behind him. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3. Notice I said that we are supposed to prepare our hearts and our bodies. Matthew chapter 17, verse 3. Up there. It said, the fining pot is for what? Silver. And the furnace for gold. But the Lord does what? Try the hearts. So you see, God is talking about our hearts here. He said, the fining pot is for silver, and the furnace is for gold. But the Lord does what? Tries the heart. So that means that your heart can either be gold or can be silver. The difference there is the degrees of purification. It's like Pastor Kron was sharing. See, it's how much you desire to go. How far you desire to go. He said, the fining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold. Different degrees of intensities. That by saying, in the great house, there are many vessels. Vessels of gold and of silver, of wood here. And are you following me? So it depends on how far you want to go with the master. That is when it begins to that intensify, or through that intercession, it begins to burn out the sin nature. You don't turn back and say, no, I can't go further again. This one, I can't let go. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. But no, if the intensity of the heat is so much, people are going to say, okay, so it's God. God is not, because you see, is that the heart of gold that God is looking for? Chosen in the furnace of affliction. Because the heart of gold that actually represents the master himself. Are you following me? But who in the days of the when an offer of prayers, that is the ultimate. Are you following me? Gold that is purified. So that is what God is doing in this day. You know, and I also put there, say, that's why Proverbs 25 explains the same thing. So when you see hearts of silver, hearts of gold, you know, it's talking about purifying, burning out that sin. Why? Because the Bible says the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. What makes your heart wicked is the sin nature that is inside it. So you can't go to bed and leave that heart. Proverbs says that. Proverbs. It says that you should keep your heart with all, not some, diligence. For out of it, what flows the forces of life. So the forces of life are not flowing now, and that force will be flowing now, which is the nature of the devil. So he says, keep that heart with all. Don't say, you know, after one victory, then just take it easy. But, we thank God now. We just preach the message. Let's just see. That's what put David into trouble. When kings ought to be in battle, he said, they tarry still. Then that same heart that the Bible says that, you know, I found David, you know, a man after my own heart who will do all of my will. That same heart turned around and put him into trouble. So you see, the essence of a message, or when we keep talking that perfection is possible, we don't have any option as to this perfection message. It's until you get rid of the sin nature in the soul and in the body, and then you maintain it, like it says, unto the coming of the Lord, that you can say that you are fine. Or like, I fought a good fight, I finished my course. Anything before then, you should be standing on your toes. That's why I say, you watch and pray always, not sometimes. Are you following me? So it's the same nature that we are talking about here. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 4. Holy Spirit, help me. It says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Who is the finer? The Lord has come to his temple. What is the dross? He's speaking about that sin nature. You can call it pride, you know, whatever. It's that sin nature that produces that fruit of the enemy. Anger, pride, envy, covetousness, whatever. We call it loss of the flesh. So let's take it away. So God wants to remove that dross from that heart, so that silver can be, you know, that heart can become a heart of silver. Then it can be a heart that God can use. Everybody's clamoring for God to use me in the end time. God, use me. You are going to do signs and wonders. It's true. But see, the only hindrance that God has is this. If he does not purify that heart, if he does not purify that heart as gold and silver, that heart is going to misbehave somewhere down the line. I follow me. You see in the Bible, I'm just mentioning in passing, in the Old Testament, God was talking about some kings. Say, this one prepared his heart to the will of God. This one said he did not prepare his heart to do the will of God. Ezra said that I have purpose in my heart to prepare my heart to do and to teach God's statutes in Israel. There's a preparation that must take place before the glory comes. And what will separate those that are accepted from those that are not accepted are those that have hearts of gold and hearts of silver. Praise the Lord. Let us put another scripture behind this. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. That's why Paul says, purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may become a new lump. When he was talking in context with the boy that was having an affair with his stepmother, when he got to that verse, you know, after I said, deliver such a one to Satan, you know, for the son of God, he now says, purge out the old leaven, that may be a new lump. You see, that's why that tells you again that he was talking to the church. He wasn't talking to unbelievers. That means Christians have leaven. Are you following me? In the soul and in the body, the sin nature. Are you following me? So he said, purge out the leaven that you may be a new lump. Praise the Lord. So I put it there, I mentioned it. I said it is the residual sin nature in the soul and the body that makes us spiritually filthy. Why I chose this word filthy is because it's been coming up in recent times. Pretty good morning, Jesus prayers. Your mom talks about you. This scripture says perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Says, having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Because you can argue that I'm holy. Yes, true. But why would God say, talking to Christians, Corinthian Christians, say, take these promises to what? To purge out, you know, the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. The spirit there is not your spirit, man. It's born again. The spirit there is the soul. Say, perfect. That means it's a process. Say, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Are you following me? So, that is what makes us filthy before God. It's not filthiness or physical filthiness when your clothes are dirty. No, it's that same nature in the soul. And in the body, you see, that's why, you know, there's a scripture in Isaiah. We normally quote it, you know, when we say that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. You see, your righteousness, will, most times we quote it referring to when we are not born again. But see, it has an application to when we get born again. If the nature that controls what you do is the same nature, it's filthiness before God. If it is not the righteousness of God, that is, let me just explain again, you know, using the blood that gives access to his life, then through prayer, that now helps you do what you want to do, is filthiness. That is what, if you, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. He said, if I give my body to be born again Christian, and I have not love, he said, it's nothing. I follow my train of thought. So you see, the essence now is to get rid of the filthiness. Or while we are getting rid of it, we will dominate it. So what dictates what we do is the life of God in the soul and in the body. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2. Are we there? Isaiah 14. Now it says, in that day, in this day, shall what? The branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Watch and pray that you may escape. Next verse. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy. Say holy. Even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem that is born again. Next verse. When the Lord shall have, can you get it? When the Lord shall have what? Washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. You see, that we are talking about the fire of intercession now here. You see, when you hear judgment and judgment and judgment, actually judgment in the Bible is twofold. Judgment in the sense that, when you read your Bible, I would say Solomon judged Israel for 40 years. He wasn't judging them in that negative sense you think about. That is, was separating, discerning between what is right and wrong. Are you following me? Then another aspect of it is that there's an application whereby he also refers to those that refused to undergo the purging. Are you following me? So it says that when lost are by the spirit of burning and judgment. Next verse. It is then and only then. Next verse. That the Lord will now what? Create upon every dwelling place in Mount Zion and upon our assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day and a shine of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. You see, there has to be a purging before the glory can come. You talk about in the Old Testament, if you read somewhere, I won't go there because of time, when the people sinned in the wilderness, initially God's design was to put the tabernacle right in the midst of the people. That's how they did it. Then he said all the camps should surround them. You know, Judah, some people here, some people here. He divided them, you know, four around. Are you following me? So, but when they sinned, because the glory was there, they started dying. So the next thing that Moses was quickly took the tabernacle and took it outside the camp. Why? So now said that, look, whoever wants to seek God, if you go there, go and be after the camp, because there is sin in the camp. The same thing is happening today. The glory has departed from the church, Ichabod. Are you following me? But you see, there is a generation on the ground today, like David, that are seeking for God to bring back the ark of God. And that ark is going to come back. Are you following me? So, but what we are saying is this. If the ark cannot dwell in the midst of sin. Are you following me? It cannot. It can't. Not because God does not love his people. I follow me. It's not because God doesn't love his people, but it's just that the nature of God is alien to sin. They can't stay together. It destroys sin. And it destroys sin. That's just it. It's not because God doesn't like his people. That is why you're going to find out the degree to which you purify yourself will determine your position in heaven. I can approach God. There are some people in heaven, they will never see God. They're in heaven, no. They will be in outer darkness. They will never see God. Yeah, it's the Bible. Not because God does not want it. No. They will, if at all, if they ever see God, just be like seeing visions and but for them to come close to God, they can't. And whereas the destiny of every Christian is to sit with him on his throne. You can take that intensity of light into your body. It then goes in and comes out. Goes in. Nothing hinders it, the flow. You yourself, you are fire. A flame of fire. Say, he maketh his ministers a flame of fire. That is our destiny. You see, and what Satan has done through different preaching in the body of Christ, they say that it is not possible. So you have a bunch of people moving around the whole place, not doing something about the sin nature. One, it is not taught. Number two, when it is taught, they don't teach it with the distilled wisdom of an apostle. It's one thing to know your problem. It's another thing to know exactly what to do and how to systematically flush it out. Praise the Lord. So, what is the problem we have in the church now? We've read what God wants to do. He wants His glory to return, and He's going to after the purging. But the problem we have now is, you see, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 7. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 28, verse 7, before we move on. It says, but they also have erred through what? Wine. And through strong drink, and are out of the way. The priests and the prophets have erred through strong wine. They have swallowed up of wine. And they are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgments. Next verse. Next verse. For the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Mom says, we've been taught very well. This is talking about the spirit of Babylon. It's not natural wine. That's why Lemuel was telling his mom, he said, don't give strong drink to those that are perishing. He said, it is not for kings to drink wine. I'm not talking natural wine today. If you like, drink wine. That's not my business. He said, it is not for kings to drink wine. The wine of fornication, the wine of Babylon. Why? If you see it there, he said, because it will make them all in judgment. So yeah, he said, the table is full of vomit. The loaf is filthy. That is the present state of the body of Christ today in most places. Table of the heart. Thank you, sir. He said, they have erred out of the way. That means there is a way. But there is a way that is seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are ways of death. That was the two thoughts shall be cut off. What is that way? We all know what Pastor has taught us. That way is the way of love. Now, why is this message important? This is why God brought it to me, and I was able to get this message. I put it there. I said, we are in a day in which God will reward those that are perfecting holiness in the fear of God with the full that they may receive the reward of the Spirit without measure. We're in that day. The day is not going to come. The day is already here. This is the Bible. If you read the Bible, go of the Old Testament, after Noah came out of it, God said, why the earth remained, seed time and harvest. When I was praying about somebody, God spoke to me. He said that I can't remember. Let me try and quote it, but it's not in my notes. I just wrote it down. You see, God's purposes are locked in times and seasons. And then God told me, he said, God can not. I wrote it down. But the essence of what he told me was that, look, God is not prepared until we are prepared. Yeah. That's how I put it. Say, God is always ready. If the church is ready today, the glory will manifest. But God is not prepared until we are prepared. No managing. Thank you, sir. Are you following me? So God's purposes are locked up in times and seasons. Just like if you have a child and it goes to school, you can calculate that in 5 years' time, if it's a 5-year course, he's going to graduate, right or wrong. So you can plan ahead. So plus or minus, receipt, no receipt, carry over, no carry over. I can say, okay, God forbid bad thing. So and so, this true happen, right or wrong. So also with the purposes of God. Say, why the earth remained, seed time and harvest. So the day your own seed time, my own seed time began, was the day that incorruptible seed was sown in your heart. Are you following me? That got you born again. So as you now continue under the right leadership and you pray and you do what you're supposed to do, that seed is supposed to grow, and we are now in that harvest time in which God is going to separate the wheat from the tares. Praise the Lord. So I put it there again, I said, we're in that day in which God will reward those that have been perfecting. Say those that have been perfecting. So in order to say that we are already perfected, but that perfecting holiness in the fear of God will be the reward of the Spirit without measure. Revelation chapter 22 verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is what? Filthy. Let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. That is right doing our conduct still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Hold on. So God begins, the Lord is master talking. He said, let's read the next verse. I'll come back to this. He said, and behold, I come quickly. And my what? Reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. So the master is telling the body of Christ. He says, no problem. If you want to remain filthy, remain filthy still. If you want to be holy still. As far as I'm concerned, I'm coming quickly. And my reward is with me. And like I said, that reward is the spirit that I mentioned. The Bible says that, let us take it to make sure that we receive a full reward. In the book of, I think, 3 John or so, or 2 John. So God is saying, like I said, we are in that season that God is coming to reward. I can see these two criteria of people. Those that are holy. Or perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And those that don't even care about it at all. Either they know or they don't know. They just don't care. So they will beat him with many stripes. Praise the Lord. So, let's another scripture to support it. Malachi chapter 3 verse 17. Are we there? Say, and they shall be mine, said Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I will do what? Spare them. Say, spare them as a man that spared his own son that served him. Next verse. And they shall ye shall return and shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Serving there is by serving God with your spirit. I don't have time to turn there. But said that in that day, God is coming. He said, I will make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son. What is that telling us? You see, that is by reason of time, you should be a son. I follow my train of thought. He says, I will spare them as a man that spareth. He said, then in that season, you will now, right now, everybody's calling themselves the man of God. Running around the whole place. But said, in that day, when I make them my jewels, what will make them as jewels? Where they manifest the glory of God, which nobody has ever seen before, in that degree. So then you will discern the righteous and the wicked, him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now, many are calling themselves servants of God today, but when in that day, that distinction will be known, everybody will be clear. I follow him. So we're in that day. So I put it and say, spare him as a son. The second point here is this. It's in this time, which is known as the day of the vengeance of our God. Proverbs 6, verse 32. So I will spare him as a man spared his own son that serves him. That means you can have a so-called son that is not serving you, but serving his own belly. Are we there? Say, but also committed adultery with a woman, lacketh understanding, and he that dwelt it destroyed his own soul. That soul we're talking about is now spiritual adultery, not physical. Next verse. A wound that dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Next verse. For what? Jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Our God is a jealous God. He's a jealous God. So instead, he's not going to spare in that day of vengeance. Praise the Lord. So, James chapter 4, verse 4, just put it there. So, he's not talking, he has application to natural adultery, which we should not indulge in. But it says, James says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, you know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever that for shall be a friend of the world is an enemy, is the enemy of God. So, he's talking about spiritual adultery with the spirit of Babylon. That's what he's talking about here. So, we can already see, and I put it here as I began to study, just to exhort us. I look through the scriptures, just meditating. There are always these two sets of people. Always. You can't stand in between like you have, stand in the middle of his eyes. Either you're on this side, or you're on this side. If you look at when Moses went to the mountains, who is on the Lord's side? He's always asking that question. Some will go with God, some will not go with God. But we'll go with God in Jesus' name. Like when I think it was Rebecca. They told him, but said, there are two nations in your womb. Using Jacob and Esau as a type. Genesis chapter 25, verse 3. When he went to seek God, what's the problem? I'm troubled. Right now, the church is undergoing Jacob's trouble. And he said, what is it? She said, there are two nations in your womb. Are we there? So the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. And two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Yes. You know, God didn't say which one is stronger here. They chose. By their actions. So, but you always find these two sets of people in the body of Christ. Are you following me? And one will always be stronger. Like the Bible says, the house of David and the house of Saul. The Bible says the house of David waxed stronger and stronger. The house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. The same two nations. Are you following me? So that is always the situation in the body of Christ. And the second point I put here as I begin to round off, the third point, is that the Bible says that we should contend for the faith. This is very important. You see, there is another gospel being preached in the body of Christ today. The Bible says we should contend for the faith. What faith are we to contend for? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9 says, receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. That is the faith we must contend for. That is the faith you and I must contend for. Not the faith of getting born again. It's that faith, because that is the end of our faith. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9. And I put that, I said, there is another gospel that preaches gain without godliness. That is, the Bible says, I said, what shall it profit a man if you have gained the whole world and lose his soul? So it is the faith we are contending for in this end time, is the salvation of our souls. That is faith that Jude was talking about. Next one, Jude chapter 1, there's one in verse 3. Jude 3. Are we there? Say, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly what? Contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Because of time. Earnestly contend. You can only earnestly contend by praying earnestly in the spirit. It's not a physical contention. I can't go and meet somebody that is saying perfection is not possible. I begin to fight him. No, it's to bring forth that fruit of perfection. Then I won the battle. Four. For there are what? Certain men crafting unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But they crept in unawares. But the wild men slept. An enemy has done this. He sowed tears. Tears have been sowed in the body of Christ today. But if you notice in that story, he said, wait till the harvest. So what I'm saying, we are in that kairos moment of the harvest time. We have all waited. So we're not just tiring. We are tiring till the harvest time. So they crept in unawares. Verse 8, because of time. 8. Likewise also, talk about this, what? Filthy dreamers. They defy the flesh, they despise dominion, and speak evil of decrees. So Bible calls them filthy dreamers. We hear them preach filthy messages. I'm not going to mention, give an example, but it's all over the place. Filthy messages. Bother around making money. Merchandising the gospel. They despise authority. Those that God has set in authority, they will never submit. Indulge the flesh. Their messages are centered around what you can get. Always. It always ends. It has to do with the prosperity of your soul. Because they crept in unawares. You know, you cannot really say, they just appeared all of a sudden. Big ministries all over the place. Preaching another gospel. As if there is no God. When they began to emerge, it's getting worse by the hour. Begin to wonder, years back, where is this one? God, you hear stories of men of God. I just give an example. Many years ago, that they, because they didn't have the power, they would get a carpet that is electrified, kind of like a rug. Then they tell people to come. So when you come, you won't know. They will step on the switch. So when you stand on it, there will be a mild electric shock. Then people fall down the power. So years ago, yes. Years ago, yes, years ago. They used to do it. They came out in the open in America and they were, you know, they used to do it. People that are looking for, Bible says, an adulterous generation. Sign-seeking generation. See, I felt the power. What power you feel? Yes, they, yeah, all right, years ago, it used to occur. Yeah, they will get this thing. People will come. They will just press the thing. Then people will mind the electric shock. Say, I felt the power. It's not God's power. Now I should be electrocuted. God forbid, bad thing. So, what am I saying? They despised authority. They despised those God has set up. And you know, like I said, they speak evil of dignities. So in preparing God to move, Numbers chapter 16, we read from verse 1. Because that's where we are in the body of Christ. We need to be clear about it. Like Pastor keeps saying, say, what is Jehoshaphat doing in the house of Ahab? Now, that thing resounds each time in my mind. What is Jehoshaphat doing in the house of Ahab? He said, oh, we are all people of God. We are all people of God. Who told you? We are all people of God. All of us are holy. That's what I'm getting to say. Are we there? He said, we are all about our holy. There's no difference. Why are you preaching out that message? You can't come and bless. Come and bless. That's why Paul says, so you can make fool. I mean, I'm fasting. I don't know about the wife. He said, now Korah, the son of Issa, the son of Korah, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. Next verse. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly. Famous, say famous in the congregation. Men of renown. We're talking about renowned ministries in the body. We're not talking about just ordinary people. Princes. And they rose up again. Next verse. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? That was the day. Despise dominion. Because you see, you need to understand something. The Bible says God has set some. You cannot unset them. God, you just have to submit to them. Next, is that verse 3? Okay, and then Moses fell on. When Moses heard this, he fell upon his face. You can see the heart of Moses. Let's move to. I said, this is the rose against Moses. I put it here. I said that they gathered against purpose of God when they gathered against Moses. What am I saying? Moses' commission was to take people to the promised land. So when they stood up against Moses, they stood up against that purpose to go to the promised land. But when God brought up with them, said, Moses, you are taking them to the promised land. And I promised them the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So when they rise against, we see nobody go to, they may not rise against Moses. They rise against that teaching that will perfect the love of God, that doctrine of godliness. They will say it is not possible. And that is the Antichrist spirit. Say it's not possible. So when they stand up against Moses in this sense, it's against that purpose of taking God's people from to the promised land. In the name of Christ. Say we are all people of God. We are all holy. We are all born again now. We're all speaking in tongues. So what is the difference? So I put it here. Where did I put Holy Spirit? Let's go verse 5. So Moses says something in verse 5. Verse 5. It says, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow. Who to God it will be tomorrow? So I can also go straight to the promised land. The Lord will show who our one is and who is what? Holy. And will cause him to come near unto him, even him who he has chosen. Will he cause to come unto him? God wants to settle every controversy in the body of Christ. He says, take your censer. That is the issue. Censor speaks about prayer. You see, I'm getting ahead of myself. This is where I'm going to end up anyway. There is a kind of prayer that can help you perfect holiness in the fear of God. That's what I'm getting at. So Moses, why did Moses take your censer? Censer and incense speaks about prayer. Because when I argue, said, oh, you are taking, everybody is holy. We are perfect. You have this message about this. Not necessary. So, okay, no problem. Let us go and pray. So tomorrow, take your censer, put incense therein, and I will know who are his one. Number two, who is holy. It is those that are holy that we're allowed to come near to him and not show those he has chosen. So of course, I don't have time to turn there. They took their censer. Let's read verse 6. Verse 6. These two, take you censers, Korah and all his company. Next verse. And put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. He take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. Priests. They take too much upon you. So God said, okay, no problem. Let's settle the controversy. How are we going to know? God wants to see those that are holy. I follow him because everybody in the body of Christ is holy. When you get born again, say, I follow him. But why would the Bible say in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, that having therefore these promises, let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of his flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If you're already holy, that means you're not, it's not your standard, is not what God is. So God is saying there's still a work to be done. You are holding your spirit, but your soul and your body still contains the filthiness. And the only way you can get it is through prayer. That's why I'm just getting Romans chapter 12. It says that brethren, presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. That means if I really say present it, if you don't present it, how? You don't have to be holy through intercession. So he said, put fire thereon. And then verse 21. He said to them, verse 21, he said, God now said something. He said, 21, please. No. Please just stay. Numbers. God told them to separate. Thomas, yeah. 16, Numbers 16. 21. Thank you. He says, separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. See, there is a separation going on in the body of Christ today. See, that separation, you know, they're not born again. I'm just trying to explain. That separation is this. You see, when Moses was going to build a tabernacle, God already foredeemed. You know, those people will not do it. Not that he plans on putting. He said that, look, when he said the veil shall separate between the holy place and the most holy place. I think Exodus. When Moses was built, he said, put a veil there. He said, this veil will separate between the holy place and the most holy place. So it is the altar of intercession that takes you across. But God already knows that, you see, that veil speaks about your flesh. So people will not allow that veil to be rent from top to bottom, from their soul down. So he separates them in the holy place. Pentecost, tongue talking. The ultimate is to enter into the most holy place where God dwells. That is about destiny. That is the promised land. So God says, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Now, don't think about consuming. You know, people get scared. One person said, God is there's a separation going on in the body of Christ. And what is determining that separation is those that cleanse themselves from all features of flesh and spirit, perfect knowledge by God. How did God separate these people? You know what the Bible said? The ground opened up and swallowed them. Carnality. That same flesh that they did not deal with destroyed them. Now, you cannot understand scriptures like, two thoughts shall be cut off. I will, three shepherds will not cut off in 1 month. You know, Pastor, I was sharing some stuff days ago. We are discussing about the situation, and he said, how come people stay under a ministry? You see what is going on, and they stay there, and they don't leave. And this scripture came to me, says, smite the shepherd, and I'll scatter the sheep, or the sheep will not scatter. There is always a bonding between the shepherd and the sheep. Why will Saul be doing all he was doing and they stayed under him? Even after he died, they were still fighting. Abner is still fighting. That's why you must be careful where you go. Why will people see the master after John the Baptist and announce that this is the Lamb of God? That there are only two or so left. The other still stayed with John the Baptist. As I said, smite the shepherd and I will scatter the sheep. So it's mercy for the sheep to remove the shepherd. Let me use the word remove. Just to remove, set him aside. We can accept that. So, how are we going to attain unto this? It's very, very simple. I talked about it. I said, by perfect holiness in the fear of God. I put it there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. when you start doing this, you have a boldness. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect," or being perfected, "that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world." It's a day to be bold, though. That boldness comes when you are doing the right thing. Only. You may not have perfected. That's a perfection. It's a process. You're under the right covering. Or those that are doing it or are already there. So you know that you're under covering. You are perfecting. When he wanted to kill the disciples, Jesus Christ said, he said, "Don't let them touch this ones." He could protect Peter, James. They were babes. They were not even born again. But we're under his covering. You can understand what I'm trying to say. So he says, we have boldness in God's in that day. The things that God will do, I'm not saying to make everybody afraid, will make the ears of men tingle. Because the things that they too have done have made the people's ears tingle when they tell the things that people are doing in the body of Christ. So I put it here, two things that we need to do. I put here, one, we must submit to true apostolic and prophetic ministries sent to prepare the way of holiness in the hearts of men. It's not a new message. Isaiah 35 verse 8. They are the ones that have been sent to prepare the hearts of men. Are we there? It says, "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. And the unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein." That is the ministry of the true apostles and prophets. Said they will prepare the way before me. The Lord will see that suddenly come to his temple. Praise the Lord. So how do you do it practically? I said you submit to them by honoring them and obeying their instructions. And what are these instructions? Let's say, God, use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect holiness in the fear of God. It's very clear. The blood, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus purges our conscience from dead works. That's what purges their heart. We're talking about earlier on. So you purge them as gold is purged. So you begin to understand. I follow me. So use the blood to clean your heart frequently. And then the word of God. The word of God is a two-edged sword. One, the other side, it gives life to your spirit. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1. Says that having therefore the promises, Holy Spirit. Say, so, yeah, given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this you might be what? Partakers of divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world to law. So you use the word of God to get the life of God. And then the fire of the Holy Spirit. So when you take that blood, you cleanse your heart. Then you use the word to draw life. Then you put that life there, then you now ignite it with the fire of the Holy Spirit intercession. So when you do that, the frequency of that in this day is very important. The frequency and the fervency. So you are doing it frequently and fervently at every opportunity, in every temptation, at least 4 times a day. So when you keep on doing that, that's what it boils down to. You are perfecting holiness in the fear of God. When it comes sudden to his temple, by the mercy and the grace of God, you discover that we all carry the glory. Praise the Lord. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Let's ask for mercy. Let's ask for grace. I believe we're all doing this. It's just to exhort ourselves. Much more like Bible says, as we see the day approaching. The day is already here. It's for us to be more diligent. And if you don't understand these things, go to the website. You see all the teachings there. And one of the things that God has done recently is the Good Morning Jesus prayers. Is an avenue to perfect holiness in the fear of God through intercession. So when you pray in the morning like that, you know, you are presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. So we have that responsibility every morning to present our bodies to GMG. Good Morning Jesus prayers. That's what you're doing. It's being practicalized. You know, Elijah said, "Come near unto me." He said, "Come near unto me." So that's what God is calling. He said, "Call unto intercession with the focus of perfecting holiness in the fear of God." He said, "Gather my sins together, that I may make covenant by sacrifice." Let's talk to God.
Let's stand to our feet as we pray. Holy are you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. All creation calls you God.
To the Lord, I believe a scripture just came to my heart. I didn't mention it, I just mentioned it. Bible says that what is Jehoshaphat doing in the house of Ahab? There was a prophet in the Old Testament that God sent to Jeroboam, and he told him, and he said, oh altar, he said, this altar shall be rent into two. We know that story. All Jeroboam did at that time, he patterned it near to the Feast of Tabernacles. And people were going there. But God told that prophet, or it could be any Christian, he said, don't drink there and don't eat there. Then the older prophet came and took him back home and gave him food and water and was devoured by a lion. Speaking about the enemy, Satan. Goes about roaring about. So what is Jehoshaphat doing in the house of Ahab? And God is telling us that we should be careful where we go in this day. We should be careful where we go in this day. It's very important. Who you company with. The messages you listen to. You may not go there physically. But you drink and you eat of that adulterous message. He sets you for the devourer. Seize my son to hear the instructions that causes you to err from the words of knowledge. We stand in awe of your holy name.
Lord, we bow in awe of you.
Lord, we bow in worship and worship. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that you are preparing our hearts and our bodies to meet with you as we appear in your glory. I thank you for the apostolic and the prophetic ministries, the true fathers you have raised up for such a time as this, to repair the way of holiness in me, that I may be a partaker of your glory. I set my will to obey and to submit to them by honoring them and obeying their instructions, to use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect holiness in the fear of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name. Friends, the Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name, we have life, Father.